really are. We're going to make it. And I thought this was kind of cute to go with it. A couple from Minneapolis decided to go to Florida for a long weekend to thaw out during one particular icy winter. Because both had jobs, they had difficulty coordinating their travel schedule. It was decided that the husband would fly to Florida on a Thursday, and his wife would follow him the next day. Upon arriving, as planned, the husband checked into the hotel there. He decided to open his laptop and send his wife an email back to Minneapolis. However, he accidentally left off one letter in her address and sent the email without realizing his error. In Houston, a widow had just returned from her husband's funeral. Now, this is going to get funny now. He was a minister of many years who had been called home to glory following a heart attack. The widow checked her email expecting messages from relatives and friends. Upon reading the first message, she fainted and fell to the floor. The widow's son rushed into the room and found his mother on the floor and saw the computer screen, which read, "To my loving wife, from your departed husband. Subject, I arrived. I've just arrived and have been checked in. I see that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to see you then. Hope your journey is as uneventful as mine was. P.S. Sure is hot down here." Did you get that? I read that to you last night. She didn't think it was funny last night because I woke her up to read it to her. Oh, well. Mark chapter 4. We'll get this show on the road. Mark chapter 4. And the title of my message is, "We're Going to Make It." How many have ever had to go through storms? Yeah, just about everybody's going through storms. I've been coming to this church since 1982, and it seems like this church has went through storm after storm after storm after storm. But I have it on the authority of God, we are going to make it. Amen. We're going to make it. In Mark chapter 4, I had a preacher say one time that if you drink water while you preach, you're a sissy. I don't care. I'm thirsty. Mark chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse number 35. Let's all stand. Remember to pray for your preacher. Pray for your associate pastor. You know what? It wouldn't hurt to send Brother Dave a card too. Let him know you appreciate what he's done. It's not easy filling in the pastor's shoes. I only had to do it tonight. It's not fun. It's not easy. And you've seen the mistakes that I made. And it's just not an easy job to do. Not just everybody can be preacher. There's not a whole lot of people that may not want to, but nobody can replace our preacher. And we need to pray for him, and we also need to pray for Pastor Dave. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. "And the same day, when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." Now remember that statement. Jesus is talking to the people, "Let us pass over to the other side." They're going across the sea. "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships." Remember that one too. The other little ships. Now there was one big ship and there were a lot of little ships. "And there arose a great storm of wind, and waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he," Jesus, "was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow." Jesus was asleep during the storm. I don't know how many of you sleep through storms. It used to be when I would fall asleep, it would take an atomic reaction to wake me up. You could just nuke Wyndham before I would wake up. I just when I slept, I slept. I don't do that anymore. I don't know why. Maybe it's something to do with my anxiety. But anyways. But he was asleep during the storm. He's asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, how many of us in here think that they were going to perish? I mean, Jesus was in the ship. How are they going to perish? He had told them, we're going to the other side. And now this storm comes up, and they don't think they're going to make it. But let's not be too hard on them, because when storms come up in our lives, we do the same thing. We run and tell God, you don't care about me. You pick on me. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. So that storm must have been pretty bad if he had to have a great calm. And he said unto them, this is kind of neat. I kind of like this kind of preaching. You know, just come right out and tell you, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? They didn't believe. Didn't he tell them, get in the ship, we're going to the other side? That's what he said. He's God. He said that. His word is more important than his own name. He says that. And they feared exceedingly, said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They were astonished at what happened. These are people that followed him along for time after time and seen miracle after miracle. And he did another one, and they're going, oh my, he did that. It's amazing. But yet we'll do the same thing. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've given me this opportunity to stand in this pulpit. Lord, I believe this is the greatest church in the world. We have the greatest preacher in the world and the greatest associate pastor. Lord, I don't count this lightly that you've allowed me to do this tonight. Lord, I pray you'd use me. I pray you'd fill me with your spirit. Lord, that I'd say the words that need to be said and not say things that don't need to be said. Lord, I just ask that you just be with each and every one of us. And Lord, I pray if there's one here that's not sure they know you as Savior, Lord, tonight they'll come to know you as Savior. Well, thank you and praise you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to make it. Storms are going to come in your life. We all have storms. We all go through them. They may be church-wide. We have problems here at the church. We're trying to get over there. And we're still here. You want to know how frustrating that is? Come in here on Sunday morning, being the Sunday school director, trying to get Sunday school classes set up after a week of school. Now, I'm not bashing the school, but I'm sure the school does the same thing on Monday mornings when they come in and say, oh, we had Sunday school. We had Super Church. We had Mickey Mouse Church. And they deal with it on Mondays. I deal with it on Sundays. We need a bigger building. But right now, we have to do with what we can do. We've got a storm. Luckily, we have a controlled storm because none of us have went off our rocker yet. Although there's been a couple times I've got close to it, but we're our church-wide. You may have a personal storm in your life. We've had problems the last couple of years. It has not been the greatest place to be in the White House, and I'm not talking about Washington, D.C., I'm talking about Windham, Ohio, because this president wasn't happy. And it wasn't a fun time in the White House. But Jesus is with us, and we are going to make it. I'm going to talk to you tonight for the next 15, 20 minutes about three storms that I personally went through in the last couple of years. Number one, we see the storm of financing, your finances. Boy, that's a good one to hit. Nobody's got money nowadays except for the government and the bureaucrats. They all got all kinds of money, although they don't want to tell you that. But finances. It seems like every time, and I see this time and time again, when your finances get tight, the first thing that goes is your tithing. Can I tell you something? If your finances is tight, don't stop tithing. Amen. Don't do that. If that's one thing I learned early in my Christian life, that I got many problems. If you don't believe me, ask Liz. She'll tell you. She's got them listed in alphabetical order. One problem that I don't have is with tithing. I've never had a problem with tithing. I've always did it. And it's always worked. It's amazing. When something works, then we want to fix it. Why do we want to fix something that works? The tithe isn't even yours. When I first started tithing as a Christian, we were doing it off our net. You know, because the preacher that we had, he's in Iowa now, thank God, Pastor Aki. He was the first pastor that I had. He led me to the Lord, and he taught me about tithing. I didn't know that you were supposed to tithe off your gross. So one day he got up and he was preaching on tithing. And he says, if you don't give off of your gross, you're a crook. And I'm thinking, And so after the church service, I went to him and I said, preacher, you never told me that before. And he got the Bible on and he showed me. And I went, okay, that's what the Bible says. We're going to put it to practice. And we have every sense. And it works.
Amen.
It really works.
Yes.
2 months ago, my car payment was due. I was on 4 days a week. I had a house payment due. I had a car payment due. Liz goes, what are we going to do? And I said, I don't know. Yeah, that's an easy answer to come up with. I don't know. And then you get this real dumb look on your face. You go, I don't know. I know what we got to do. We got to pray.
Amen.
So we prayed. Lord, Friday, the car payment's due. Next Friday, the house payment's due. I'm working 4 days a week. This ain't happening. I got paper out. Try to figure this out. Do you know what? On paper, if I wouldn't have tithed, I could make it. I went in the trash can. She said, what are we going to do? She already knew what we were going to do anyway. She just wanted to find out if I was going to stay with the program. I said, we're going to tithe. She said, okay, how much? Well, we put the tithe in. We put an offering in. Put in for our missions. Then Brother Dave comes up with this bright idea of helping the school. You know, anybody want to give $5 a week for the school? She pokes me. She goes, why can't we do that? I'm trying to figure out how to make a car payment. I said, why not? It's only $5. Ain't going to hurt nothing. Put our hand up. I'm going to give $5 a week for the school. Friday come rolling around. I got my paycheck. As everybody else is so exciting, right after lunch, open your paycheck up. I'm looking at it. This ain't right. Looked at it again. I went to the office. I said, excuse me. There's 2 days on here that you paid me for. I don't know why. And they go, oh, you had 2 days of vacation last year you never used. I said, really? And you didn't tell me that ahead of time? I called her on the phone right away. I'm trying to run my machine and talk on the phone. You're not allowed to do that. You get in trouble. But my boss goes, you're excited about something. I said, I got to call my wife. He said, go ahead. And he watched my machine. I called her. And I said, Liz, you're not going to believe this. We got enough money to make the car payment. She said, really? And I said, really? And we wrote the check out for the car payment. It's not late. So the next week is the house payment, which is a little bit more bigger than the car payment. And I'm thinking, what are you going to do? I said, well, it worked the first time. Let's try this again. Put in our tithes. Put in our offering for missions. Put in our $5 a week for the school. They told us we get a bonus check. We get $100 a year if you don't miss. I have 9 years consecutive that I've never missed work, legally. There are ways you can get out of work and not have to worry about getting penalized for it. And I know, after 20 years, you learn all that stuff. They told us that we would get the check in the end of February or March. Well, this is January. My house payment's due. I'm still on 4 days a week. I'm still tithing, giving the missions, and giving that $5 a week that she talked me into for the school. On paper, nothing seems to work. So I give up. I wasn't good at math anyway, so it doesn't matter. So I quit trying to figure things out. Friday comes along. I've got two checks stamped together. I go, wow, this is strange. I open it up. It's my bonus check of $800. I went, I got to call Liz. I called her again. My boss goes, man, I'm going to quit giving you your check until it's time for you to go home. You get too excited. I said, Liz, guess what? We made the house payment on time. I hate being late. I hate to be, even with my bill. If it wasn't for my wife, I would be late for everything. I procrastinate a lot. I still got a gutter hanging down off of my garage the last 6 weeks. I haven't put it back up yet. I'll get to it eventually. I try to get Eddie to do it, but he works. He's got more hours than I do now. But it works. Don't quit tithing if your finances get tough. It's amazing what some people do when a storm arises and their finances get tight. God's usually the first one that they cut out. It's sad. You know, if you don't tithe, God says you're a crook. Just like my preacher told me, you're a crook if you don't give God the tithe, because it's His, it's not yours. When I found out that the tithe belonged to God, it wasn't mine, what am I doing keeping it? I don't want somebody else's responsibility, so I'll give Him His money. I might lose it. I might spend it on something stupid. Another story. The boys were real little. We wanted to go to the zoo. Now, this is the only time that I actually messed up. And it wasn't on my tithe, it was on my missions giving. I told God, I got down, I prayed about this, the spiritual. I was real spiritual about this. I said, God, I'm going to take our missions money, take my boys to the zoo, and I'll double it next week. That's what I told him. Isn't that true? I told him that. And I said, that sounds good. I didn't wait for an answer because I was afraid what I was going to get. So we went to the zoo. We had a good time. Monday morning, I got up. I was going to work. Boom! My right front tire blows out. Now, this is before anger management. I'm mad. I'm really, really mad. Because when I got in the trunk of the car, no, there's no jack. I took it out. I don't remember what I did with it. Now I'm really, really mad. Luckily, for the sake of my car, my friend pulled up behind me so gracefully, so tactfully. Gets out of the car and looks at me and says, "What's wrong?" "The tire's flat, stupid." He says, "Well, how come you didn't get it fixed?" "I ain't got a jack." Gets a jack out. We jack the car up. We put the these things are stupid. I thought you ate donuts. You didn't put them in the back of your car. I put this on my car. I drive from Garrettsville all the way to Middlefield with a donut on my car. I'm mad. I end up working 12 hours that day. I'm mad. It's 90 degrees outside. I have a softball game at 7 o'clock. I'm coming home. Boom! Now I'm really mad. The left front tire blows out. I have no spare. I'm between heaven and hell. I'm sitting where the old turkey farm used to be on 82. There's nothing there except space. I'm 5 miles from this place, 5 miles from that place. No cell phone. I'm mad. I get somebody to help me. They tow my car because I don't have a spare tire. I got to get my car towed to the garage, put new tires on the front. $135 later, I missed the softball game. Why? I should have stayed home and went to the zoo the next week. I asked the boys, did they have fun? Oh, yeah, Dad, we had fun. I didn't have fun Monday. Terrible. God will protect you. He promises he'll protect us from the devourer. I could tell you, I could stay up here all night and talk about stories, about finances, how God has blessed us financially because we stuck with what the plan was. We weathered the storm. Now, we're not out of the financial storm. I'm still, I got my house payments due next week, I think. Or is it the car payment again? House payment this time. Did we pay the car payment? Not yet. Oh, boy. I thought that one was taken care of. That's a storm I wasn't counting on. But anyways, don't quit tithing when your finances get tough. I was working at a gas station in 1978 through 1980. I was making $35,000 a year. I did something real stupid. I almost went to jail over it because it was dumb. I forged some papers, and I sold a tire that was on discontinued. I sold it at regular price. It first started out as a mistake. When I found my mistake, I corrected my mistake, and I covered it up. I didn't try to make it right. It didn't work. I lost my job over it. I started working at a grocery store for $6 an hour. I've got 2 kids. I've got a wife who just quit her... Well, no, Kenny was just born. You were expecting Kenny at the time. My wife had a job. I had a job. We had made good money. Now I've lost my job. She had to quit her job because of the baby. Now we have no job because of my stupidity. That was stupid. What I did was stupid. If you want to know what I did, ask me later. I don't have time to explain it all right now. And I probably won't tell you anyway. But through the years, finances. Once we learned how to tithe, we stuck with the plan. Amen. We've weathered the storms. I'm sure there's going to be more storms coming financially for us. We're going to stick with the plan. We're going to stay in the boat. I'm not waking Jesus up and saying, well, you don't care about me. I'm driving a 2003 PT Cruiser. That's the newest car I've ever owned in my life. I love that car. It sure does a number to deer. Better than a 12-gauge shotgun. Of course, it costs you more, but what's a shotgun shell? About $1? I got a deer, it cost me $6,000. The storm of finances. How about the storm of your sin? Everybody's got a sin that easily trips them up. I didn't have any problems with tithing. I didn't have the sin of keeping God's money. And you know why I usually don't yell and scream and throw a fit about people who have these little petty sins that so easily trip them up? Because I have one. and it's my anger. I get mad real easy. The simple fact is, I don't get my way, ain't happening. I come unglued. I really, really get mad. Some of you don't believe that. You should live with me. Two weeks ago, on a Sunday night, Brother Mike Freimeyer was preaching. He preached on brotherly love. I'm on my way home, talking to my wife very loudly. I didn't think she could hear me, so I had to speak up real loud. But she heard me. We were literally arguing with one another. I don't even remember what it was all about. I'm sure it was something stupid. I got so mad. She said, let me out of the car. My skid marks are still right between 88 and 700, where I stopped to let her out of the car. She wanted out. Unfortunately for her, she had her seatbelt off before I stopped. She bounced off the dashboard, literally bounced off the dashboard. Got out of the car, I left. We're 13 miles from home. Now, this lady, you might think it's funny, she could get lost walking across the street. I left her in the middle of nowhere at 10 o'clock at night and went home and did not realize from the time I left there to the time I got home, I have no idea what happened. None. I can't tell you what I said to her. I don't know if she remembers it. I don't remember what I said. But I'm sure it wasn't nice. Because I was mad. I had anger. That morning, I called a counselor. I can't deal with this anymore. I called my sister. My sister went and picked her up. I can't deal with this anymore. I've got to have help. I went to the counselor. He told me, he said, you made a mistake. I said, no, anger's not a mistake. Anger is a sin. And when I recognized that was the sin that was causing me problems. That's the sin that I trip over every time I turn around. Until you decide you're going to do something about it, you're going to continue to trip over it. You're going to continue to trip over that sin until you get tired of falling on your face. I got tired of falling over my face. I got tired of seeing my wife crying all the time. I got tired of seeing my kids going, Dad, what did we do now? And I did something about it. I'm getting counseling. And my poor counselor, he's about ready to give up. He can't believe what I can come up with. He tells me, he goes, you made a mistake, Ed. It'll be all right. And I said, no, it won't. It wasn't a mistake. Anger is sin. The Bible says so. He goes, really? So I got to preach to him for 45 minutes, and he charged me for it. I'm not laughing, it's not funny. So you may be going through a storm of sin in your life that you trip over all the time. Until you recognize it, you're going to continue to trip. You're going to continue to fall. But you know one thing that my preacher taught me in the 18 years he was here? Don't quit. I am so stubborn and so bullheaded, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to let Satan win. I hate to lose. I hate losing. The person that come up with this, oh, it doesn't matter whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game, is a loser. It does matter if you win. You know, I'm more happier when I play baseball and I win than I am if I lose. The coach used to buy us ice cream when we were kids and played ball, whether we won or lost. But you know, the ice cream tasted better when you win. Ice cream tastes good anyway. Man, that's good stuff. Let's pray. I'm going to get ice cream. That's my sin. That's my other little one. What about the storm of your life? You just have, it's not a sin problem. It's just, you know, Brother Ed, I don't know where I fit in at. I come to church. I sit in the pew. I listen to the preacher preach. I hear you and Brother Dave says, you know, you need to get involved in church. I don't know what to do. Number one, stay in the boat. Don't get out of the boat. Jesus told him, he says, what's the matter with you people? I'm paraphrasing now. I don't have a different version up here. I got the King James Bible. Don't flip out, run over to preacher's house and wake him up. Him and Jesus are over there taking a nap. Don't bother him. Just kidding. But he is. He's over there resting. Jesus says to him, he goes, why are you so fearful? What's the matter? You know, if you're with Jesus, didn't he tell him he was going on the other side? He said, get on the boat. We're going to the other side. Stay in the boat. What if they'd have jumped off the boat? And think of this. There were little boats with them. Could you imagine what those people were thinking? I mean, you think your problem's bad? Try to be in the shoes of somebody else when they have problems. Your problem don't look so big then. You're in this big boat. The waves are coming over. Imagine being in a little boat when the waves are coming over. I can imagine those guys in them little boats. I'm getting as close to that big ship as I can. I want to be as close to Jesus as I can. That's what you need to do when you're in a storm. Get as close to Jesus as you can. Then you can hear him say, peace be still, without him having to yell. The closer you are, the easier it is when the storm comes. Because the storm will come. And a storm won't last very long. We might think it lasts for, what's the average tornado? About maybe a minute at the most, sometimes. Sometimes they don't even last that long. Touchdown gone in seconds. Devastating. They don't last long. But if you're in your proper place, in your basement, during that storm, you'll be okay. You're in a storm of life, you're close to Jesus, you're going to be all right. You're going to make it. They made it over to the other side. Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 1, and I'm going to wrap it up. 10 after 8. I'm doing good. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadareans. Imagine that. They made it. Mitchell, they made it. They had a storm, but they made it. It was a vicious storm. I don't know what the storm is in your life. I don't know if you're going through financial struggles. If you got a sin problem. Brother Dave preached an awesome message Sunday morning on sin. Man, I told a preacher, I said, man, he could preach. I remember when that boy first got here, I wouldn't have gave you a wooden nickel for him. I've grown to love Brother Dave more than I ever have. And he can preach. And he preached the truth. And you know what happens when you preach the truth? Some people get upset. They don't like you. Well, if I'm preaching the truth and you don't like me, I don't care. Because I'm not here to make you happy. I'm here to encourage you. That's my job. That's what a preacher asked me to do. Encourage the people. That's what I'm here for. If you get mad because of something I said, I didn't say it anyway. It was in the Bible. Take it up with God. I don't like arguing with him anyway. It's almost like arguing with your wife. You're not going to win. You're not. You're not going to win. Go ahead, argue with him. You're not going to win. When I decided to quit arguing with God and do what I'm supposed to do and not worry about the things that I'm not doing, just do what you're supposed to do, the storms don't seem so bad. And you'll make it to the other side. Brother Mark, would you just close this out?
Thank you for that.